Thanks, Nathan. We were nearly coordinated as well. Good morning. Yeah. This is a subject quite close to my heart. For those that don't know, I drank quite a bit, and to the point where I ended up in rehab in 2003. And when I was looking at this, I thought, yeah, this is a good chance for me to use my experience on alcohol and what effects alcohol can have on people and stuff like that, because I drank a lot. In fact, probably from 33 onwards in what we've just read was my life between 1997 and 2003, because I felt like sleeping on the high seas quite often. Red eyes and stuff like that. And it was a bad time. And to be honest with you, I drank that much. This is the truth, right? I drank that much at some points that when I came out of rehab in 2003, about a month later, this is true, the local off license put a for sale sign up. That says it all. But anyway, it is a subject very close to my heart. And on the face of it, on the face of the piece of scripture that we've just heard, you may be thinking, okay, yep, we're going to find out whether we can or whether we can't drink, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. But the more I read this and the more I prayed over this piece of scripture, something very different came along. God gave me something different, because it's not going to be a message on whether or not we should drink. This message that God's given for us today isn't a message on whether or not we should drink sherry, wine, beer, Jaeger bombers. See what I did there? Went through the eras with drink, sherry, wine, beer, Jaeger bombers. There's people here thinking, what's Jaeger bombers? People here thinking, what's sherry? But it doesn't matter. The point is, it's all alcohol, isn't it? But we're not going to think about whether we should or shouldn't drink this morning, or whether it's right or wrong to drink this morning. We're going to think, why would we? Or why do we? And we're not going to even stop at drink, because in this piece of scripture that Nathan's just read to us, there's two words that God really, really highlighted for me when I was looking over it. And those two words were linger and gaze. And to linger is to stay in a place longer than is necessary, and a reluctance to leave. And gaze is to look steadily and intently and in admiration at something. And those are the two words. And in this piece of scripture, it seems that to linger and to gaze on something is the catalyst for an addiction. It's the catalyst for being drawn to something, to linger and to gaze at something. So we're going to ask ourselves this morning, what do we linger and gaze on? It may well be alcohol. But we can linger and gaze on all kinds of things. We can linger and gaze, maybe linger around the bookies. We can gaze at our bank accounts. We can linger and gaze at someone that we shouldn't be maybe lingering and gazing at. Do we linger and gaze on those things, or do we linger and gaze on God? What in our life do we linger and gaze on? Because the choice is ours. God gives us free will. The choice is ours. But we're also going to look at just how dangerous free will can be, because it can be dangerous, free will. Because with free will comes choice. And we're constantly faced with choices, aren't we? You know, KFC, McDonald's. Which one do we go for? Xbox or PlayStation? Corrie or EastEnders? I'm a Corrie person. And possibly the hardest choice you will ever make in your entire lives, Quavers or Wotsits. But choices are important. And someone once said that we are the sum total of our choices. We are the sum total of our choices. So there's a headmaster, and he's having a meeting with his teachers, okay? And he's a Christian headmaster. And suddenly, an angel comes into this meeting and says, "For your good service, you've been granted one of three things. You can either have wealth, wisdom, or beauty." Now, being a head teacher, he jumps straight in and says, "I want wisdom. I'll have that." So the angel says, "It's done," and disappears. So all the teachers are looking at this headmaster and they're staring at what's just happened. And then finally, one of the teachers gets the courage to say, "You've just been granted unlimited wisdom. Give us something. Tell us something wise." And the head teacher thinks about it and he looks around and he says, "I should have taken the money." But we've got to think about our choices. Choices can be a nightmare because no matter what decision you make, with choices comes consequence. With choices comes consequence. And in 2014, it's hard because we have a man says kind of attitude, don't we, in 2014? We have a man says it's okay to maybe go out and get hammered on drink. You know, it's all right to look at someone else. It's all right to have a little cheeky bet. But you'll notice that with man's okay, always it always follows with a justification. There's always a justification. It's all right to get hammered on a weekend. I only do it on a weekend. The justification. It's all right to look at someone else, as long as we don't touch. Justification. It's all right to have a cheeky bet. It's just for fun. Justification. And because of this man justification, we live in a world where so many people choose to linger and gaze at alcohol to the point that we get this, the title of this message, not the Wine O'Clock News. But even, oh, it's Wine O'Clock, that's a justification. It tells me that whoever's coined this phrase has worked all day, has got the kids sorted, bathed them, but has been waiting for that clock to tick to 9 because at 9 o'clock it's all right. It's justified to have it at 9 o'clock. But we live in a world where people choose to linger and gaze at other men and women because of this man justification. We live in a world where people are measured by wealth and constantly gazing at their bank accounts. Because that's what you should be doing, according to man. And because of this man justification, we have a record number of alcoholics. We have a record number of family breakdowns. We have a record number of debt because of man's justification. Because man says it's all right, it's a bit of fun, no problem, don't worry about it. God gives us the freedom to make our own decisions. He gives us the freedom to choose what we will gaze and linger on. But not all choices, just because there's an array of choices, it doesn't necessarily mean they're all good for us. It doesn't mean they're all good for us. We're reading 1 Corinthians 10:23. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do everything, anything you say, but not everything is constructive. And it's important what we choose because, as I said before, every choice has a consequence. I used to be in hairdressing, and sometimes in the afternoon, it can get a little bit boring if there's no customers there. And I was a barber for a long time, but I was an hairdresser for the first 5 years. And I was the only guy there. And all these girls would get bored in the afternoon, there's nothing to do, so they'd get their hair done. And they'd be there getting the blow dries or the perms or their roots done. You know what I'm on about, ladies. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? What can I do? So I'm bored one afternoon and I think, oh, you know what? There's some blonde there. I'm going to have some highlights. Yeah, I'm going to get some highlights. So I say to someone at girls, will you highlight my hair? Get the cap on. Again, you know what I'm on about, girls. Pulled it through, got all the highlights done. Brilliant. That killed an hour. 3 hours later, still bored. And I spotted some red. So I thought, I know, I'll put some red in as well. I'll be way ahead. So I got the cap on, got one of the girls pull it through, put some red on. I looked awesome in my eyes. Went on with black, red and blonde. Lorraine looked at me. The consequence of my choices to get red and blonde in my black hair was my wife not going out with me for 2 months. She wouldn't go out with me. But do we choose to linger and gaze at something of this world, or do we choose to linger and gaze on God? Because we have free will, we have choice, but choice has consequence. The writer, it's very likely that the writer of the scripture that we've heard this morning was Solomon. He's attributed to writing a lot of the Proverbs. And it seems fitting that we use his dad as an example of five choices that lead to adultery and murder. Because Solomon's dad was David, King David. And we pick up an account of David in 2 Samuel 11, where it's a time of war. And in these days, it would be that the king would go out onto the into battle with the armies to encourage and to lead them and to be there with them. But King David makes his first choice. He decides, no, I'll stay at home. So he stays at home. He's made his first choice of 5 choices that lead to adultery and murder. Because then, while he's at home, in his pyjamas, he's walking out around his palace, and he comes across this lady he sees in the distance, bathing in the evening sun. Now, he could have chose to have looked away, but David makes his second choice. He decides to keep watching. He decides to linger, to gaze at this woman. So he's made his second choice of 5 that leads to adultery and murder. Now, he could have stopped there. He could have had a look and gone. But David makes his third choice out of 5 choices that leads to adultery and murder, in that he thinks, you know what? There's no harm. I'll send one of my guys just to find out who she is. There's no harm in that, surely. So he sends a guy and he finds out that it's actually the wife of one of the people in his army. And he could have thought, right, I'll knock it on the head there. I know who she is now, you know. But he makes his fourth choice of 5 choices that leads to adultery and murder. he sends for her to come to the palace. And that leads to the adultery bit. But then this lady gets pregnant. So David's like, what am I going to do here? This lady's pregnant. She's married to one of the guys in my army. What am I going to do here? So he brings the guy back. And he says, spend some time with your wife, hoping that they'll have a nice time. And that the man will then think that this baby is actually his. But the guy says, no, I can't possibly do that. How can I enjoy myself while all my men are out there fighting? I can't do that. So he's stuck. So David then makes his fifth choice. He decides to send this man out onto the front line of battle. And he gives the order for him not to be protected. David ultimately murders the man. Five choices that led to adultery and murder. And it seems that David's got away with this. It seems he's got away with adultery and murder for a while. But then God sends a prophet and makes David see exactly what he's done. And you know, David was certainly a man close to God's heart. And did he forgive him? Of course he did in the end. But you know what? David felt the consequence of those five choices for the rest of his life. David chose to linger and gaze on this woman. And he made five terrible choices. But it started with one seemingly innocent one. I'll stay at home. Then a second seemingly innocent one. I'll just have a quick look. Then a third. I'll just find out who she is. And it led to adultery and murder. You know, the consequence of our choices won't always show up straight away. Generally, the consequence of our choices usually comes after a few more choices, after a while. I didn't end up in rehab in 2003 because one day I woke up and, hello, I'm addicted. Didn't happen like that. It didn't happen like that. I ended up in rehab because of choices, my choices. Drink didn't throw itself down my throat, I threw it down my throat. I chose to do that. I chose to linger in pubs. I chose to gaze at alcohol in a way that was it for me. And I justified it with man's justification for a long time. You know, I'm young, I'm enjoying myself, I can have a drink. Well, the pub opens at 11 in the morning, so surely that means it's all right for me to have a drink. Well, you know what? The spa starts serving drink at 9 o'clock in the morning. Surely it's all right if I have a drink then. I justified it. And the consequence of those choices for me was loss of respect, including self-respect. It was family breakdown, it's financial ruin, and ultimately a 3-month stay in rehab. That was the consequence of my choices. But you know what? I only got it right when I decided to stop gazing and lingering at drink, to turn away from that and to start gazing and lingering on God. That's the only time it went right. God gives us free will. But when we start to make choices based on man principles, you know, oh, it's only in the weekend, you know, the principles we've heard, that can open us up because we do have an enemy. And it can open us up to attack from that enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober. For the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Why would we leave ourselves open for that? Every person I know addicted to alcohol, it started with one drink. Every person I know that has been cheated on or has cheated on their partner and has been divorced, it started with one glance, one second glance. Every person I know with gambling problems, it started with one bet for fun. But then they lingered on that one time, they gazed on that experience, and then they made a number of bad choices, and then boom, they were paying the consequences for those choices. We're going to play a song, and to be honest, this song is, it means quite a bit to me, because it always reminds me of the consequence of choice. Particularly the video that accompanies it, and it's by a band called it's called Slow Fade. What's the band called? Somebody? Anybody? Okay. Anyway, it's called A Slow Fade, and it's essentially about a man who makes choices about different things, and essentially about adultery. But I think you can watch this and apply it to anything that we can be staring or gazing at, and look at the consequence of choice on that. Okay? Pretty powerful, eh? But some of the words in that we've just heard, thoughts invade, choices made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away, and people never crumble in a day. So true. By the way, they're Casting Crowns, the band. So how do we make sure that we are not slowly fading? How do we make sure that we're not lingering and gazing on the wrong things and making the wrong choices? And the answer lies in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The question this morning isn't, am I allowed to drink? The question this morning isn't, am I allowed to have a cheeky bet? Am I allowed to have a look at somebody or something else or whatever it is? The question is, this morning, does what I'm lingering and gazing on honour God? Does what is in my life, what I linger and what I gaze on, whether it be alcohol like the Scripture or anything else, does it honour God? And if you can, in all honesty, say, you know what? Yeah, it does. Then God says this morning, crack on with it. Go for it. Continue doing it and be blessed. But if there is a shadow of doubt that what we or you are lingering on in your life and what you're gazing at maybe isn't quite honouring God, then this morning it's time to start focusing on Him. It's time to start lingering and gazing on Him this morning. Because as we've read in the Scripture, to linger and gaze is to be more or less addicted to something if you're lingering and gazing. So if we're lingering and gazing on God, that is one addiction I can tell you with 100% conviction God loves. Because He loves us to linger and gaze, to be addicted to Him. So what are you lingering on this morning? What are you gazing on this morning? Is it alcohol? Or is it something else or someone else? turn to him, linger and gaze on him, because the God that created this world, the God that created the stars, the God that created the sun, the moon, the sea, the sand, and everything else around us, doesn't want you to have to face consequences of bad choice. Why? The answer's simple. Because he loves you and he loves me. But this morning, the choice is yours. Have a really blessed week.